Today we hear a very familiar scripture from the first letter to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body is not a single part, but many. If a foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this reason belong any less to the body. Or if an ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it does not for this reason belong any less. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not need you," nor again the head to the feet, "I do not need you." Indeed, the parts of the body that seem weaker are all the more necessary, and those parts of the body that we consider less honorable, we surround with greater honor. And our less presentable parts are treated with greater propriety, whereas our more presentable parts do not need this. So God has constructed the body as to give greater honor to the part that is without it, so there may be no division in the body, but that the parts may have the same concern for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. Now you are Christ's body, and individually parts of it. Some people God has designated in the church to be first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then mighty deeds, then gifts of healing, assistance, administration, and varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work mighty deeds? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Strive for the greater gifts. Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We are God's work of art, each one of us a precious gem, a marvelous melody, a potter's delight. We are God's handiwork, woven together in love, shaped with infinite compassion, painted with incredible beauty. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, diverse in human qualities, but united in our call to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are the body of Christ, living in his truth, sharing his peace, carrying his hope, embodying his love throughout the world he loves so much. We are here to be reminded once more who we are, whose we are, and what our lives are about. We are here to be uplifted, renewed, and empowered to live out the miracle of who we are by the power of God working in and among us. We open ourselves to God, who makes all things new. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, from the fourth chapter, verses 14 through 21. A story that we shared together, the children and I shared together this morning. I bring it to you from the Message. A little background for the Gospel of Luke to this point. Of course, Jesus has been born. One of the two birth narratives we have from the Gospels is in the Gospel of Luke, the other in the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus has been baptized. Then we get a rather lengthy, somewhat accurate genealogy of Jesus. It's been tweaked a little bit by the author. And Jesus, after his baptism, has gone out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, by evil, and now he has returned from that 40 days, and he reappears back in his home territory, where he's been teaching and preaching. And we pick up the story at this point in Luke's Gospel. Pay close attention to the words. Jesus returned to Galilee, powerful in the Spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside, and he taught in their meeting places to everyone's acclaim and pleasure. He came to Nazareth, where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. And when he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, God's Spirit is on me. God's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in. You've just heard Scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. One can argue many things about Jesus, what he looked like, whether he was more human or more divine, what he meant by the things that he said, the things that he did, the ways that he taught, and people have. But I think there's one thing that no one can argue about. Jesus had chutzpah. You know what chutzpah is? It's a boldness, an audacity, if you will, the nerve to do something, to say something that is surprising, more than surprising. It takes people aback. Yes, Jesus was loving. Yes, he was humble at times. Yes, he had all those characters that we commonly associate with Jesus, but he had chutzpah. In this short little piece that we shared together just a few minutes ago, Jesus makes two audacious claims. First, he says he's been chosen by God. That's pretty audacious, isn't it? I've been chosen by God, he says. And for those of us reading back into that, he's claiming that he's the promised Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. That takes a lot of nerve. And then the second one, that God's reign at that particular moment in this story, God's reign, God's promises have been fulfilled. What nerve, what boldness, what chutzpah. Making those claims in Jesus' day would get most anybody in trouble. It still would get folk in trouble today. And it will get Jesus in trouble, time and time again. Oh, and spoiler alert, come back next week to hear the second part of this story and the verses that follow. In Luke's Gospel, this is Luke's method, Luke's way, if you will, of Jesus announcing the beginning of his ministry and what his ministry will be about. He stands up and reads these verses from the prophet Isaiah, actually 3rd Isaiah, because most biblical scholars think that the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, was written by 3 different authors. There are 3 different periods covered, and this is 3rd Isaiah, from the 60th chapter. He pulls a little bit from the 58th chapter. Jesus says his message is to preach God's good news, God's promises, to preach pardon to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free. That is God's time to act. And he's not the first one to make these claims. It's just they came from Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah makes these claims to Israel, who was at that time in captivity, in bondage, who had been conquered and had been dispersed throughout the area. They had been taken prisoner. They had been oppressed. They had lost sight of the God who had made promises to them. Isaiah, whoever wrote that particular piece of Isaiah, made those promises to Israel. But this is different. A little bit different, a lot different, however you want to think of it, because Jesus is expanding the territory, not just to Israel. Those promises Jesus is claiming are not just to Israel, but to everybody, to the entire world. That would take some nerve, too, in his day. It still takes some nerve to make that claim now and remind people that God's love, God's word, God's promises are for everybody. And people still take offense at that. Don't believe that it's true. But we do. Or at least we should. Jesus was chosen at that particular time, at particular point in the history of the world, to preach God's good news and all that it entails, to all that it includes. He was chosen, and so are we. The church, that's you and me, has been chosen by God for this very same ministry, in this very same time, in this very place, to preach the message of God's good news to everybody, for everybody, to pardon the prisoners, not those just held in jails or prisons, but all who are imprisoned by all sorts of things, by poverty, by bigotry, by oppression. And not only to those prisoners in those situations, but those who imprison them by keeping the powers that be that keep folk in poverty there. Those who are held prisoner by their prejudices, their bigotry. The church is still called today to preach and bring recovery of sight to those who have lost sight of God's promises, whether out of despair or out of arrogance, to set those who have been burdened and battered by life, all sorts of situations, and those who also are burdened and battered by the ones that are doing that, those who burden and batter others, to claim to the world that this is God's time, God's year, if you will, 2019, to act. Following our worship today, we'll remain here for our annual meeting, to look back at the year and the reports that are within them, and to measure ourselves to these claims by Jesus, these claims that we are to carry forward, to see how we have preached God's message of good news, to do all the things that God expects of us, and to look ahead to 2019, the year that is ahead of us, well, most of it, 11/12 of it, to how we might preach the good news this year and live into the ministry to which we, the church, have been chosen. For no matter what time or what year it is always God's year to act, always the church's year to act, always our year to act, in the name of the one who has chosen us to bring and share the message, so that the scripture, where we find God's promises might continue to make history, that in the ministry we do, that it will come true right now in this place. Amen. Most gracious and loving God, the prayers that we lift up to you come straight from our hearts. We lift them up in confidence of your attention to us and your love for us. So hear us now as we together, with one voice, join in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.